There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama, sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store, an interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
They're going to pry these guns right out of my hands when they come to take them away. I believe in the rights that my fathers gave me when he signed the Constitution that day. No misguided president or crooked politician with a greasy pocket to be fair. When the hard-working man gets tired of your cry, it's gonna rain wrath, beware. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. You're not gonna take it away. I stand up and fight for my freedoms and rights. That's a price you'll have to pay. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. Red-blooded to the core. You ain't ever had a fight in your life like the fight that you're.
All right, welcome to Armed Alabama. Glad you could tune in to us tonight. We've got a good show for you, of course, as always. And I'm Adam Strange here with Judge Rusty Johnston. And this is your show about self-defense, firearm and ammo selection, home protection, concealed carry, training, concealed carry laws, proper range etiquette, of course, Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi law and federal law. If you have a comment or a question that you would like to for us to address here on the studio, give us a call to the studio, 251-343-0106. You can call or text to that same number, 251-343-0106. We are also simulcasting live on our Facebook page, and that's Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. Please like and save and follow while you're there, and that way you'll be notified every time that we make a post or go live or make a video. Speaking of videos, you can also check us out on our YouTube channel, and that's Armed Alabama. And please like and subscribe while you're there. There are lots of video contents, and including different shows that we have made over the last 3 years. So please get on there and check it out. Comment. Let us know what you think about our content. And if you have any questions for me outside the show, you can email me, adam@armedalabama.com, or you can email the judge at armedalabama.com. Judge, what you got for us tonight?
Well, we had planned to do home hardening tonight, but because of, obviously, the shooting in Texas and Ohio, we kind of put that on the back burner because we want to address the unbelievable amount of disinformation that's out there. I mean, this is a typical some news source everybody's quoting. There have been 255 mass shootings in the United States this year. Well, that's the number of days in the year. I think this one, Will, you can correct me if you know this, these were either the fourth and fifth or fifth and sixth. Oh, I think fifth and sixth, if we throw the California one in the week before. You know, Stalin said one death's a tragedy, a million a statistic. And, you know, things happen. I'm more concerned about the 100 million plus people that were killed in the last 100 years by their own government, who had the monopoly of the use of firearms. They kill their own unarmed civilian citizens. And, you know, I'm being conservative, 100 million is probably much higher than that. But, you know, talk about disarming. You're not going to be worried about any 22 people. You're going to be worried about millions then, because I don't trust you know, I don't trust Trump. I don't trust anybody with my family's life like that. But anyway, that's my bandwagon right now. We'll get more in it. And we have Will Case, of course, with us.
Absolutely.
On the great event Friday night.
Yeah, if you missed out on last Friday's event for the Friends of the NRA, you miss out on a good time. We had a fun time. As always, the food was great, the atmosphere was great, and I think everybody was had a good time. Matter of fact, the seats were still packed even up to 8:30 going on 9 o'clock. Absolutely. When the event was over. So Will Kays is here, of course, with the Friends of the NRA, and Will, give us a rundown on Friday night's activities.
Well, the preliminary numbers are you know, for the most part in. I should have a hard number tomorrow from the NRA rep, but it looked like we had the ticket stubs that we collect for each ticket that goes in for a drawing. We had 183 of those, which is, I think, the most we've ever had actually turned in. Pretty sure we had at least 200 people there, if not more. Every seat was full. There was people sitting at the front tables in between planes eating, because we didn't have the battleship still doesn't have enough tables for all of our people to sit at. We did have every table that they had, though. Preliminary numbers look like we were able to net over 25,000 again, so we should make high caliber club, which is fantastic. It's the second year in a row.
And that's the NRA benchmark. Correct.
That is an NRA benchmark. Anything from 25 to 50 is high caliber, and then there's just ascending levels of high caliber. And the only in the state of Alabama last year, there was only three high caliber committees in the state: Eufaula, Huntsville, and Mobile.
Wow.
The year before that, it was Huntsville and Eufaula, which pretty much hit it every year just because of the venue that they have. They usually have about twice the amount of people that we have. Eufaula, those guys that run that committee are all retired, and they eat, breathe, and talk Friends of NRA 365 days a year. They meet every Saturday at 7 a.m. to talk about what they're going to do for the week. So they are just completely immersed. They do a gun raffle every month. And then Huntsville, they only sell tables. There is no general admission to their event. You have to buy a table to get in. And so I'm proud that we've come up to that level. At one time, Mobile was the largest event in the state. So my goal is to get us back to that, if possible. But, you know, the battleship was great. They actually had more planes. And, you know, just to let everybody know, it's kind of something we learned this week. They are transitioning the aircraft pavilion. They're taking some of the modern planes and putting them outside and getting the World War II planes inside. So they're kind of moving things around. It's going to make more room in there so you can see more stuff, which is really good because it was always kind of overcrowded in there anyway. But that gave us more room to spread out and actually have a little bit more comfortable event this year as well. So,
well, good. I know we enjoyed it tremendously. So,
yeah, and I will have to throw out just a real quick deep appreciation to your wife,
yes,
Tricia, for running a game for me, because we had several people that were there to help, and something happened, and they had to leave right before literally the moment the doors opened, they had to leave. Oh, so we were very shorthanded, and Tricia, she stepped up and ran a game all night for us.
She did, and she did a good job. She
absolutely
enjoyed it. I mean, she absolutely enjoyed it.
She's hooked now. So.
No, but she had a good time, and she really enjoyed helping support the event and support the cause.
Good, yeah, and just if anybody wants to help out, you know, we try to get more committee members. I think we got a couple that night that have said they're going to volunteer. We're always looking for new committee members. You know, just contact me, 251-753-6494. You can call or text or email me at mobilebayfnra@gmail.com and just let me know that you're interested. And you don't have to do a lot before the event. You know, we ask for people to try to sell tickets. You know, even if you only sell five tickets, it's five more tickets than we had sold last, you know, the year before. We always like getting donations for the silent auction. We had 54 items in our silent auction this year and 31 in the live auction.
People find out more about you guys. You have a Facebook page and also
we have a Facebook
website,
page.
Right?
It's Friends of NRA Mobile Bay Chapter, which is weird. I wish I could change the name, but it's kind of stuck that way.
Yeah, I think you can change it once in your Facebook lifetime.
And then, you know, like you said, you can call me. email me at mobilebayfnra@gmail.com or text me 251-753-6494. I'm always happy to answer questions.
And those monies that are raised at an event, they go to Boy Scouts, they go to law enforcement, goes to 4-H clubs. I mean, what are some of the other
Mostly for youth organizations. We try to kind of stick with them because we're trying to get the youth involved in the shooting sports so we continue to have a shooting sports in the future.
Yes.
We got the Boy Scouts in Mobile in the area a nice grant this year, and you know we're that's pretty much our focus is the youth though, and we do so.
Perfect. All right, we'll be back with more Armed Alabama after this break. Chris from Mobile, stay online. We'll catch you when we get back.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I own this establishment. Bought it from Greeley for $1,000.
You better clear out of there.
Yes, sir. Just hold it right there. Hold it!
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself. He's going to decorate his saloon with my friend.
Clint Eastwood, huh?
All right, welcome back to Armed Alabama. One of my favorite lines, I think, is right before that. Is that any man don't want to get shot, but a clear on out the back. I like that.
Yep.
So over the weekend, Judge, we know at least 31 people were killed over the weekend in mass shootings.
Yeah, I was going to say we probably had more than that killed in Chicago.
It was in Chicago. There were 52 people that were shot in Chicago alone.
Yeah, how many fatalities? Like 5 or 6 fatalities.
And yeah, I think it was 5 fatalities.
But that's every week.
That's every week
in Chicago.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, this was just a weekend.
Will, you lived
in that's not I mean, that's every weekend. Yeah. Every weekend, as long as it's warm. When it gets cold, they all kind of hibernate. So,
As bad as the mass shootings are, it's just gut-wrenching when you hear the stories and read the stories about the incidents.
The people that were prohibited in both locales, it wouldn't have made much difference in Ohio, but in El Paso, they were prohibited from carrying because Walmart had the sign up.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. So we had 2 more gun-free zones in addition to the California one. Why don't we take Chris before he jumps off and we'll...
Yeah, we have a caller online.
Hey, Chris, Mobile, what's up?
Oh, I was just going to ask y'all about that red flag law.
Oh.
About the extreme protection order that somebody believes the police are...
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, one of the reasons the liberals got rid of the mental institutions in the 70s is because they claimed the psychiatrist, you could have somebody committed on the signature. I think it had to be one psychiatrist and then a physician. That was it. No court, no jury. Those same people now want to turn over our Second Amendment rights to psychiatrists where we've done polling, 90% are considered left or far left. That'd be good, wouldn't it? But Will, Will, why don't you address it a little bit because you've kind of kept up with the specifics of these red flag things. I think it's outrageous.
Well, I mean, the biggest problem with the red flag laws. I mean, I'm completely okay if somebody feels like you know this person could be a harm to somebody or to themselves with going to the police.
You can call the probate court
something,
and they'll schedule.
But there has to be due process. You cannot just take somebody's rights away from them. Just blindly, without them having any ability to defend themselves, because if I get mad at Adam and I go to the court and say, or go to whoever, say Adam, that guy's a gun nut, and he's threatening to shoot up the school tomorrow. They'll go knock on his door,
Adam goes there at 11 at night with his gun. He's probably killed.
Well, and there has been one guy, and I don't remember what state it was in, but there was one guy that was killed by law enforcement when they knocked on his door. Because he didn't know it was law enforcement.
And law enforcement doesn't want to be involved in anything like that.
So
I'm confident it'll never pass here, Chris, in Alabama. But I hate to see everybody else lose their rights. But, you know, really, these are state issues to be fought out state by state. Massachusetts wants to do that. You know, that's their business.
Well, this weekend, Geraldo Rivera, which I don't agree with a lot of things that he tweeted this weekend, but the one, and I believe it was El Paso, where they took him alive, took the shooter alive, the guy that wore hearing protection like we were talking offline.
Yeah. Is that not
bizarre? That's the weirdest thing in the world.
The guy is going to go and do...
And he alleged, if that was his manifesto, that he probably wouldn't be taken alive, but right? He wants to preserve his hearing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Geraldo, in his tweet, said, why is this guy still alive? Why didn't they just shoot him?
Yeah.
Be done with it. You know, that way we don't have to glorify him. You know, he's going to go to court, and they're going to make a big spectacle of the
court.
The
guy in Florida is still sitting around waiting for...
Well, exactly.
Well, and it's going to breed other... It's going to breed
well,
other
exactly. Shooters. You know, my yeah. personal belief...
And, of course, the media is going to sensationalize it.
They
you kept know, it's going to say,
looping, you know, 2 minutes of video over and over and over.
Oh, absolutely. And they're going to whip people up in a frenzy, so you're going to have copycat yeah. shooters.
Exactly.
Just like this guy that was in Dayton, Ohio.
Right.
Who well, let's was see. Chris, you have anything else to say? We've kind of taken over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The bait. Let me ask you this, Chris, and you guess for me. In from 1998 to 2019, so that's 20 years, what do you think the racial demographics were of mass public shooters, the shooter himself? Yeah, we heard over the weekend this is all a white racism thing, right? Here's the actual numbers. White, 58% of the mass shooters. Black, 18%. Asian, 8%. Middle Eastern, 8%. Hispanic, 5%. American Indian, 3%. American Indians are really overrepresented because they're not 3% of the population.
Well, I mean, that's pretty close to the actual, you know, national demographics.
Well, yeah.
Probably, I mean, you know, plus or minus 2 or 3, 4%.
And I'll give you one more factoid, Chris. The, you know, it's always young white males, they claim, and that's, you know, kind of the 20-year-old age range. Well, if you look at from the numbers from 36 through 45 years of age, that's 30% of the mass shooters over the last 20 years.
Let me ask something, Judge. Let's say somebody calls the police and says, my son, he's off on this meth. I'm afraid he's going to hurt somebody. Could the police come in and come over and take his weapon?
No. If he was in the man's house, you know, a lot of those kids are living in your own house. Well, they sure could.
But I'm just saying, that's why I'm saying the red flag law. Could they pick up and call a judge just like a roadside search warrant and say, hey, we're going to take this guy's weapon until he has due process?
Yeah, they only hear one side of it. You're exactly right. That's these red flag laws. The judge doesn't hear from the defendant or his lawyer or his doctor or anybody else. He just finds out this has been granted what we call ex parte, E-X-P-A-R-T-E.
A probable cause to take his weapon until he has a hearing.
Yeah, that's what they want to do. And I love it. I'm consistent.
That's a real problem, as long as it has the due process and has a judge with a criteria.
Well, I think it's a problem, but, you know, I'm sure the federal courts won't see it as a problem. I think it's a terrible problem, you know?
Well, that's what I was concerned. What is y'all's concern? I mean, as long as it's, like you said, like a probable cause, like a bond hearing or a hearing.
As long as the defendant has notice.
That was justifiable.
Yep. As long as he has notice, I mean, even if he has to drive down with the police to the court hearing, I'd rather him have, you know, held until he gets his lawyer. But just to find out it was granted, you know, the day before, I think Adam said, you know, I did a lot of these protection from abuse orders years ago, and you would find some that they just filed them because they wanted to screw with it was generally the wife filing them on their husband. And those were ex parte, and the defendant was not there for the first hearing.
Well, I'm just going to assume that somebody's going to report somebody to law enforcement, then law enforcement's going to come out and make a judgment call, and they take his weapon, and they say, okay, be in court in 3 days.
Yeah.
Which you know, something like that's what I'm thinking. I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
Well, I don't. That didn't really have work. So the judge has already had his hearing, and he has found that you shouldn't have a gun. The police knock on your door, come in, and take every firearm in your house, and say, you know, give you a slip of paper. The hearing's on this date, and that's the problem. And then the danger that it puts the police in and you in, when you don't even know these things. I want to know point to the instances where a law like that would have stopped somebody we've ever heard about. Because none of these people. None of these people.
I don't know. These people may have never been reported.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know.
Exactly. One of them's friends said he rode there with him. And his sister and the guy in Ohio killed his own sister and shot the friend that drove him there. So he didn't know,
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes.
Good point.
Wouldn't you love that? Give somebody a ride and then he shoots you.
Well, that particular individual. Thank you for your call, Chris. I appreciate it.
Great
thank
comments.
You for calling in. Good question.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
So speaking of that, Judge, that particular individual was actually a far leftist. I mean, a crazed leftist. Antifa supporter.
Oh yeah,
and he also, speaking of supporter, he also supported Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them. Everybody has.
No, but they blame us.
But
that's exactly right. So over the weekend, the first person I seen come out was Beto.
Came out
immediately and decried these events, these shootings as white. Nationalist terrorist,
mm-hmm. And which he implied almost all of them are, and it's just rose.
Well, and of course the media goes right along with it. You know, they go right along with it. But my thing is that he came out and stated it was white nationalist racists that did this, and I'm thought, man, that's crazy. He didn't even know. Nobody knows the facts. Well, it come out that the guy was actually Antifa. But Beto is only – he came out maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago at the most, and talked about Antifa was a necessary group and he thought it was a good group. This was Beto now, a candidate for president.
Well, yeah, the street thugs attacking people.
That's exactly what they are.
And I'm not so sure – you know, the Christchurch shooter that the guy in Texas said he admired – that guy also said the Christchurch. I admire the Red China, People's Republic of China, and all this other crazy stuff. So
facts are secondary to the narrative for all of the ones on the left.
And, and that's a lot of them were looking just for soundbite.
Everybody's looking for a motive when people do bad, and I'll say bad stuff because people don't snap. They've proven that. The guy in Las Vegas planned his shooting. Weeks, if not months in advance. He was hauling guns in for a week.
As well as the Fort Hood shooter.
Yeah. Yep. It's not like he lost big at the tables in Vegas and then just got up and started shooting everybody.
Well, the Fort Hood shooter, whom Obama said was, he called it
workplace violence.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
When we all know it was actually domestic terrorism.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Looks like we got a break, folks. Remember, come back in after the break and call us here at 251-343-0106.
Side of me. They're walking on the fighting side of me. Running down a way of life, our fighting men have fought and died to keep.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
You want to play rough? Okay. No. Say hello to my little friend! Okay. You want to play rough? Okay. Yeah. Okay, do you like that? Huh? You want more?
It was tough. I cut that clip to make sure that the F word did not come out multiple times from him because he is so back with Armed Alabama. But one more of my statistics here. This is once again mass public shootings from 1998 to June 2019. Type of weapon used. 56% of these were committed only with a handgun. Then 13% were committed only with a rifle, and that's all kind of rifles, but presumably probably a semi-automatic. Then we have a shotgun only, 4%, handgun and rifle, 12%, handgun and shotgun, 12%, all three types, 3%. So, you know, once again, they're focusing on the wrong thing. It's once again, let's take people's rights away. That's why I hate that we're so focused on the Second Amendment, which the federal government's never authorized in the United States Constitution to do anything with our firearms. That is not an enumerated power. The Second Amendment, as the first, second, third, they were put in later in the Bill of Rights, and most of the founders said, I don't know why we're even putting this in. The central government has no right to infringe upon the freedom of the press or freedom of speech or et cetera. So the Second Amendment is just an extra there. But if you concede that to them, then the response is, well, good, we'll repeal the Second Amendment. And that ain't where our rights come from.
No.
They preexisted the government.
Well, Friday night when you introduced me to Chris Pringle, you know, him and I had a little conversation sidebar, and, you know, after Sandy Hook and when the kids got killed, I, as a gun owner and an avid supporter of the Second Amendment, thought, you know, knee-gut reaction, something, we got to do something, keep this from happening again. But then I started looking at all of the things, all of our rights that have been taken away for the last 100 years.
It's
with all of the acts. Our back is up against the wall, folks. I mean, we can't give another inch. Our rights are gone.
I think if people, let's say 1840s, 50s, looked at us now and they even knew what socialism was or communism, that's what they would think. Because it has gone so far, especially in property rights, taxation, you know, all of that. The gun rights are one of the, and they've been restricted terribly, but they're one of the few that kind of is still healthy out there. When you see, well, the government didn't have to, well, they're really talking about, they keep throwing the hate speech in and all of that, which is a prelude to, they're whipping the public up to, you know, get these media companies to shut down people.
What, do you remember, of course, when Reagan was president, and his main opponent was Tip O'Neill?
Yeah.
And so, what you remember the dialogue that was going on? I mean, it was, they were definitely across opposite sides of the aisle and everything, but there was still a certain amount of decorum there,
right,
between Ronald Reagan,
you know,
and,
when I first
and Tip O'Neill. There's no
with
decorum
George W.
now.
Bush, it was like, you know, the left got whipped up in this fever that he wasn't the real winner. And, you know, you got to have a referee, and that's what – but they kept trying to delegitimize him, and the rhetoric got so nasty. And, of course, I put some blame on him when you think about – talking about rights lost, you know, 9/11. Let's not use this to they want us to use this to restrict our liberty. Well, that's just what the government did.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And it wouldn't have made any difference. They were all in the country illegally.
Yeah, but now it's a fever pitch where politicians that are running for president are calling the sitting president racist and saying that he is responsible for these shootings, when most of the shootings that we've talked about, Judge, since you and I have been on this show, has been leftists.
Oh, yeah. And they're, you know, like I say, you just – to put a – unless somebody, you know, I heard them last night, they're talking about these white national shootings. They brought up Charleston, South Carolina, which took place, I'm not sure the years, but was when Obama was president. So they go back 5 years at least to pull that one out, kind of implying that, well, this has happened. You know, they were all talking about things that happened within a year. I'm kind of with the opinion of, like a lot of people, hate crime, that whole hate crime thing is silly. I think it's hateful to kill anybody or murder anybody. And the way they have it set up, if I go to my church and tell the pastor, I'm killing you because you're a, you know, blank kind of, you're a member of a certain religion, hate crime. If I go up there and say you're a horrible person and just shoot him, then kill him, it's not a hate crime. Well, he's dead. It's a horrible act. That's just so silly.
Yeah, one of the things with the Garlic Festival shooting, this was several weeks ago.
It's almost laughable to even say Garlic Festival shooting.
Well, that's where it took place.
Free zone.
And one, yes, And one of the individuals there, the people that attended the event, of course, confronted the shooter and was like, why are you doing this? And his comment was, because I'm angry.
Yeah.
And, of course, the investigation now shows that he's neither, you know, Democrat nor Republican. He hated both parties. This individual was, you know, of course, had mental problems. Now, he had violent ideologies, but still, I don't think they've really come to the bottom of this. But one of the things that was stated right off the bat, the narratives, we talked about narratives being pushed or sound bites being pushed, is that he had a weapon of war, quote unquote.
Yeah, military weapon of war.
And said he had an AK-47 style assault rifle.
At least they said style.
But it actually was an SKS that has a fixed 10 rounds,
right?
Magazine. It's not a detachable magazine. It's right. A fixed magazine and holds no more than 10 rounds, which is exactly some of the restrictions that Democrat lawmakers have been pushing for.
Yep.
And this guy uses that very type of firearm, whom they turn around and call an AK-47 style assault rifle. So the narrative was being pushed, you know, even.
Well, in that shooting, there was a report that one woman confronted the guy before he started shooting and said, why are you, what do you think you're going to do? You're not going to do this. And, of course, I think he shot her shot somebody around her. But just imagine if she'd have been armed. It wouldn't have been words.
No, exactly. Absolutely. I mean,
and it would have been over.
The Ohio response was unbelievable. I mean, it was like 30 seconds. And I can't understand. You know, first when the shooting happened in Texas, I thought, I can't believe somebody in a Texas Walmart didn't shoot him.
I can't.
Well, when I found out, you know, Texas is one of those states, unlike Alabama, thank goodness, that if a store owner puts a sign up, no guns, then that's the law.
Yep.
And so law-abiding people obey it.
Yep. Their gun laws are not as strong as ours.
Yeah,
that's right. And numerous people said, well, I just can't believe nobody had a gun in Texas. I'm like, hey, Texas is on its way to become a purple state. Oh,
they're law-abiding, you know, so they're going to obey the law. I heard somebody say, it was two great quotes. If America, the United States is such a white, racist country, why is everybody from the third world trying to get in?
Yep.
You know, that's number one. And I can't remember what my original comment was, but it is just, this is very unproductive. Well, we need to talk about what, I mean, you know, I think in a country this big, you're just going to have things like this happen. But you can blame it as much on the press as you can on the fire.
Well, with the press, again, going back to the narrative and what they're reporting, this is all we've heard for the last 3 weeks or so is mass shootings. And I think that breeds another mass shooting and another
Absolutely.
Mass shooting. But this whole year, throughout 2019, you haven't heard this kind of outrage, this kind of uproar in the media.
As the general election gets closer.
Well, for Chicago, there's been over 1,500 people been shot in 2019.
And look at Baltimore.
And we just made August. Over 1,500 people. Where's the outrage there? Are people in El Paso that are supposedly Mexican nationals, are they more important than the people in Chicago? Why is that being reported more than the 1,500 people that's been shot in Chicago?
That's what
and if I lived in Chicago, if I was a Chicago resident, I'd be pissed off.
Yep. That's why they say gun control is racist, because, you know, it only happens when certain demographics, the uproar for gun control only happens when certain demographics are actually attacked.
And one thing, Will, they do is every time they get through some of this stuff, it makes it more expensive usually for a person with less means, a poor person, than to carry, because they'll put these additional restrictions on. You got to go to class. You got to do this. Well, the price, you know, of costing you to get a carry permit is just going up.
Right. Well, I read an article in the last couple of days. I think it was over the weekend, where the Department of Justice had contracted these individuals, and they're both psychologists and doctors of some sort, and they have studied mass shootings since 1966. What commonalities are there? And every one of the shooters that they've come up with, nearly everyone, had an extreme trauma in their youth.
I saw the same article.
Whether it was a suicide by parent, sexual or physical abuse, something to that effect. There were warning signs where there was a catastrophic event that triggered a change in behavior weeks or days or months before the actual shooting. And we're just not paying attention. There are people around these folks aren't paying attention. And that's where a good red flag law by, you know, and when I say a good red flag law, hey, this person appears to be, you know, something's going on. You know, we might need to take a look at them. Let's get them in a court, you know, let them come in. And, you know, I mean, hey, if they're.
Do it that day.
Yeah, you know, do it that day. Bring them in. Hey, what's going on? And, you know, get them some counseling, get them some help. Or do that, you know, beforehand, and maybe we'll stop, you know, maybe we can stop some of them.
We have very lax, you know, good gun laws in the state, relax. The only mass shooting that I can ever remember, if it even was that, remember the one that took place around the Army base over in the wire grass, and they were chasing the guy? From, that's the only one I can remember ever happened here. And it was just, that was a pretty weird thing. But, yeah, you know, you'd think we'd have a lot more here. But we don't.
Well, going back to your point, Will, my problem is with that is the abuse that could take place with that. Judge, how many times have we talked about swatting?
Oh, yeah.
And so with that instance, how many times are is disgruntled people going to make phone calls on
Well, I get to that. Individual? Show me where it would change anything.
Right.
I mean, in theory, Will, it does sound good, but – what incident would it have stopped?
Yeah, so neighbors calling on neighbors, family members calling on family members because they're mad, ex-wives, ex-husbands, whatever, as a means to use the system. So if you would have that kind of law, you were saying good. So what defines good? So, all right, we'll come back with more Armed Alabama after this break. Hang tight. Still got more to talk about.
Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat a 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
That sounds like my kind of airline.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, welcome back to Armed Alabama. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. We still got plenty of show left. If you've missed us, first part of the show, of course, we've been talking about the different mass shootings over the last 3 or 4 weeks and trying to put it in context and maybe even offer some suggestions to minimize that in the future. Judge, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Well, one place you need to go, and if you need, you know, now's the time to buy ammunition or guns or anything because the price will eke up. And
it will jump up. Yeah. But one of the things I had neglected to mention, Judge, is that the concealed carry permits all across the nation have just jumped within the last week or so.
I wish everybody that had a concealed carry permit would call the White House.
So if you're looking for a good concealed carry firearm, McCoy Outdoors is a place to go.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's not any big deal. Just you go there and buy it, and then you get your permit here for $20. And we've got a lot of stuff posted on the law, et cetera. But, of course, you get everything else there, too. And let's always remember that 800,000 people were killed in Rwanda with machetes 15 years ago, whenever it was. So you don't have to have a military assault rifle, you know. They ordered those from China, by the way, months in advance. You know, I mean, that was horrible. If any of y'all know about the Armenian genocide, it's a very underreported thing because of Turkey. 1.5 to 2 million Christians were killed starting about 1915, I think it was. And about 6 months before that, they passed laws in Turkey to disarm. You couldn't have private firearms. Some of them kept their arms, but they knew what they were doing. The Turks, you know, of course, it was Muslim versus Christian, and the Armenians were the minority. They took the men away first. And then it wasn't very difficult to come back for the women and the girls. It's really terrible. You can go to places in Syria. I've seen them on film where there are just thousands of bones in piles, you know, because they're out in the desert. They don't decay as much. It's a horrible thing. But who do you think said this? Guns for what? To fight against whom? Against the revolutionary government that has the support of the people? Of course, that's Fidel Castro. And within 6 months, basically, they had enacted their gun confiscation. Yeah, I trust somebody like that, or I trust somebody like AOC.
Or Beto.
Yeah, Beto. What a fruitcake.
Well, Kamala Harris came out, you know, I think one of her first tweets was a campaign fund grab based off the tragedies.
Oh, gosh, that is so horrible.
You know?
You know, I thought they wanted to secede in California.
Well,
I was all for it.
Well, that's so, like, you
I'll
know,
sign the papers.
Yeah.
It's like Rahm Emanuel's, you know, let not a tragedy go on.
Absolutely.
What was his?
I blame more the people who are supposed to be on our side that are too scared to say the truth. And they, you know, like Trump, they start, well, okay, I see. And they don't know how that empowers the left. They're never going to vote for Trump. You know, and doing this makes no difference.
Right. Yeah, they, you know, the GOP, senators, congressmen, whatever, they're spineless.
Yep.
And they really, you know, other than a few, I mean, I think Dan Crenshaw has some credentials to, you know, he kind of tries to get at least the truth out there. I mean,
yeah.
some information. Yeah. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you really should, because he really does do a good job after votes on different bills, coming out and saying, look, the media, you know, the propaganda machine, it's not the media anymore. The leftist propaganda machine that is CNN, NBC, all those folks.
And the DNC.
And I tell you, Fox is going the way of them real quick.
Because they take their sound bites, their talking points, straight from the DNC.
Yep.
Well, look, the Democrat Party is the Nazi Party of the 21st century. You know, they have
the, how can you say that?
What? They are. They have they have Antifa.
Well, and
I mean,
then, remember the Nazis
the brown
were
shirt
National
the Nazis.
Socialist.
And am I not right then? I mean,
you are. You are.
You know, they have the media on their side pushing their fake news agenda. And they have like you said, Beto comes out and says Antifa, which is a fascist. You know, if you don't agree with us, we'll beat you up and beat you into submission.
And we'll think about how in Nazi Germany, the media was, oh, these terrible Jews, they're molesting children.
Right.
They're ripping everybody. The
propaganda.
Media is one that played an integral part. You got to whip the people up
first. Yep. Exactly.
And identify an enemy. If it happened now, the media has just got it down.
They're following the playbook.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are. If you keep an eye on it, they're following the playbook.
Yep. Demonize your enemy. And that's exactly what the media does.
When
you're making accusations all the time that the president is racist, right. Republicans are racist. If you're a gun owner, that's what it's going to be. If you're a gun owner, then you're a white nationalist racist. So,
well, I mean, they've all already come out and said if you support President Trump, then you're a racist.
Yeah.
Period. You know, there's just
what
you
about
know, just own
people
your
of color that support President Trump? I guess they're
well, they can't be racist.
Yeah, they can't.
You know, only
be,
white people can be racist.
I guess they're just crazy. You know, it is just so
they're bigots.
Silly.
They're not
yeah.
racist.
Yeah, yeah there you go.
That's how they look at it.
It is just nuts.
Speaking of nuts, of course, this is August, and we are really into full swing of the hurricane season.
Yep.
So if you are not prepared, we always talk about being prepared here in Armed Alabama.
Having a gun is a big part of that. You can't conceal, wait till the storm's coming here.
Absolutely. We always talk to people about being responsible for your own safety, whether that's being concealed carry or locking your house, having multiple door locks. One of the things we definitely want to discuss is being prepared for the hurricane, having a plan, having lots
knowing
of water.
What your elevation is. You can look at maps.
Know
and
when
then
to
if
leave.
They say, you know, there's going to be a 15-foot storm surge and you live 30 miles inland at 60 feet in altitude, you know, you don't have to just listen to the government like a sheep. Mm. You know, there's all that information out there, so use it.
Well, especially when the storm comes in and goes like, oh, my goodness, now I need to go and get supplies. And you go to the nearest store, and guess what? The shelves are empty. You can't get the bottled water or canned goods
this?
Or
Let's
things
say
you
leave
or
Mobile
gas.
And it hits, and the government says, you can't come back there. You can't go to your house, you know, like they did in New Orleans. Give us a week, and wouldn't that be lovely? So, and remember, it's not the – I heard somebody last night say the main responsibility of the government of the United States is to protect people's lives. Well, that's just not true. Their main obligation is to preserve, protect, and defend the liberties of the people, not, you know, preventing criminals from hurting you or anything else. They have no obligation to do that. That's ours. And – of course, we forget it was the states that formed the federal government and not the other way around.
No, there's a lack of personal responsibility in this country anyway. So.
You got it. It is just...
The government will provide. That's the mentality.
Well, there's a phenomenon. If anybody out there is a sociologist or anthropologist in Malaysia, Indonesia, it's called running amok. And Captain Cook first brought it back in 1750, whatever. And it's normally teenage boys that get 17, 18, and they grab a machete and just kind of go berserk and start killing people. Now, that's strange, isn't it? Because it resembles a number of these things we've seen, and it's gone on for that long, you know. So there's a lot of things going on with an adolescent. And when you just scout guns, you don't get to the bottom of it.
And to your point, Judge, the government's responsibility to protect its citizens, build a wall. The thing about it is with fentanyl problem, if you hadn't heard of fentanyl, it's coming. All right, we have reached the end of the show. I can't believe it's so quick. So thank you, Will, for joining us.
And
tune in next week for more Armed Alabama.
But they preach about some other way of living. And when they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fight.